Today's scripture is Philippians 2, 4 through 11. Let's try to fully absorb this together. Is there any encouragement from belonging to Christ? Any comfort from his love? Any fellowship together in the Spirit? Are your hearts tender and compassionate? Then make me truly happy by agreeing wholeheartedly with each other, loving one another, and working together with one mind and purpose. Don't be selfish. Don't try to impress others. Be humble. Thinking of others is better than yourselves. Don't look out only for your own interests, but take interest in others too. The word of the Lord.
Well, good morning. We are in these final weeks of Lent, this sacred season that prepares us well for what is to come in the hope of Easter and resurrection. You see, Lent isn't a time of just giving something up, though it's easy to think of it that way, but it's more than that. It's a time for us to slow down, a time for us to do some serious heart work and to really pay attention to what is inside of us, to see what's driving us, to see what has become our highest priorities, what we have allowed to determine our worth and our value, and maybe even think about the things that we may have idolized as well. It's a time for us to pay attention more and more and examine our lives as we ask the Spirit to reorient and recalibrate our lives to become more and more like Christ. And so as we're approaching Holy Week, we're invited to walk with Jesus towards this ultimate display of humility, Jesus' journey towards the cross. This time offers us a chance to reflect on what Christ has given, that he gave his life, and for us to consider what it means to live in this humble love and to live life differently. It's a period of preparation, inviting us to give all that we are, to offer our minds and our hearts and our lives to fully engage in the passion and the sacrifice and the ultimate victory of Holy Week. And we remember that on these final days of Jesus' ministry here on earth, we remember his suffering and his death and also move towards resurrection life. It's time for us to go deeper, to get rid of the superficial and to press in into really what it means for us to follow him with all of who we are, our heart, our soul, our mind, and our strength. And so this morning, what I'd like for us to do is I want us to focus on this probably most challenging, but also the most central aspects of Jesus' life and teaching, and that is humility. Now, let's be honest for a moment that humility probably sounds nice on paper, but it's often misunderstood and twisted in today's culture. That we often view humility as maybe being overly self-deprecating or constantly downplaying our strengths. Others may view humility as a weakness and then try to replace it with overconfidence. I was in Idaho last week, and I was there with our new ASB board of directors. It was a really good time for us to be at NNU, our sister school. And during one of our dinners at this kind of like large food court, almost kind of looks kind of like Liberty Public Market, there are two things that caught my eye. One was this guy who was doing like live music. And to be honest, he was just horrible musically. He was off key, but he was super confident and flaunting it. I mean, he was just there for the moment. And he was singing loud, but he was awful, to be honest. And he probably had a lack of self-awareness, but he was just going for it. And then another person, as I was walking towards getting a cup of tea before we left, was wearing this t-shirt that just caught my eye. I am the most humble person I know. And I just got a chuckle out of it. It was like one of those like moments like, all right, you know, like very like kind of like interesting shirt and also like super sarcastic, right? But however, when we think about true humility, we have to think about something that is way deeper than all the things that we've mentioned. That's something that it's about living into this reality that we have to be and live into something greater. And often that's much harder to live out than it is to actually talk about. And so what does it mean for us to be truly humble like Jesus? And maybe the question for us is this: what is the deeper work that needs to happen inside of us to become humble like Jesus? And so that's what I want us to explore today as we're looking through this chapter 2 of Philippians. Probably the most profound passages about humility. In the middle of this is this poem, this Christ hymn that basically kind of brings all of this letter to Philippians, to the Philippian church, kind of together and helps us to give us a picture of who Jesus is. In this passage, it is reminding us of this humility that Jesus specifically invites us into. Not this humility that the world celebrates. And there's this deep love and compassion from Paul. You see, Paul is writing to the very first church that he established of Jesus' followers in the Roman Empire. This is a group that is living in the heart of Eastern Europe in the Roman Empire. Philippi was full of retired soldiers and generals. It was full of government officials, and it was well known for its deep allegiance to Rome. To the Roman Empire, an empire that ruled by force and by strength and by fear and intimidation, with no regards for others, but only the interests of Rome. And so Paul faced some immediate resistance when he's preaching this gospel about Jesus being king in a place where everyone was saying Caesar is king. Where Paul is preaching of this new kingdom where they are all following this kingdom of Rome. And so Paul is facing immediate pushback there. And yet there is this group of these faithful followers of Jesus in Philippi, in that environment, who are saying Jesus is king. Paul is actually writing from prison himself, being someone who is a threat in the midst of the Roman Empire, and he's finding himself in jail, writing to his first church that he established. And these people in Philippi continue to suffer persecution, but they remain this vibrant community in this faithful way of following Jesus. And so he says this in verses 3 and 4. He says, "Do not do anything out of selfish ambition or vain conceit, but rather in humility, value others above yourselves, not looking to your own interests, but each of you to the interest of the others." Now, on the surface, this verse may feel like it's just like kind of a basic, like, don't be selfish type of encouragement from Paul. But if we dig deeper, we realize that Paul is asking for something far more radical from these people in Philippi. He's not just saying, don't be selfish. His challenge is to completely reorient the way in which they relate to the world and to others. He's saying, value others above yourselves. So let that sink for a moment. After I've already told you kind of the backdrop of what is happening in Philippi, we have to imagine, how would a person in Philippi be asked to do that? How would we be asked to do that? In a place where we're thinking Rome is at the top, where fear and intimidation and power is the way to go, Paul is asking and saying, no, think about others. He's challenging their way. He's challenging the culture. He's challenging the kingdom. And this is the heart of humility, that to be honest, is not even our natural way of being as people. We live in a world that tells us to look out for number one, to prioritize our own needs, to climb up the ladder at all costs. But humility, the way of Jesus, is something entirely different. It is a shift from self-centeredness to others-centeredness. It is this shift that doesn't come naturally. It is a constant and daily decision to humble ourselves, to serve, to love, to give ourselves away for the sake of others. Henry Nouwen explains it this way. He says this, humility is not thinking less of yourself, it is thinking of yourself less. It is this humility challenges the very core of our cultural values. True humility is not about self-deprecation or pretending that we don't have worth, but it's about being free from the need of constantly focusing on ourselves and instead turning our attention towards the needs of others, those who God loves. Now let's pause for a moment, because I feel like humility sounds like very nice and very spiritual, but then there's also a way in which the world kind of tends to twist it a little bit. Many times what we've experienced is we've experienced false humility. Maybe people offering help with self-centered motives, or maybe in ways in which they're seeking validation or compliments, or humble bragging, or sometimes even the denial of our own value. Those are all the ways in which humility has been kind of twisted and warped and changed. Sometimes we look at maybe humility as being something that is on surface level feels good, but maybe underneath can have some selfish motives. I'm reminded of a clip from The Office. And it's this episode where Dwight Schrute is trying to do favors for everyone so that everyone can owe him a favor so that he can get his arch nemesis, Jim, fired. And so he then starts doing something nice for Andy Bernard. And he does this favor for Andy, and then Andy somehow feels compelled to always return the favor, and he cannot stop him. And so for a moment, let's turn our heads to the screen, and let's watch a clip from The Office. It's interesting, right? That they're just going back and forth all the time, right? He can't get him to stop. And his motives are all about self-service. It's not about serving Andy out of the goodness of his heart, but it's about collecting favor. It's about building up a stockpile so that later he can call in those favors and get what he wants. This so-called humility is actually a form of manipulation, right? That it looks humble on the outside, but underneath, it's about using others to get ahead. It's about keeping score. It's about selfish gain. And it's not humility. It's basically pride dressed up in a cloak of good deeds, right? But true humility is about not using people to get ahead, but it's about serving them because we love them. Actually, it's about serving them because God deeply loves them. It's about giving ourselves away freely with no strings attached. It's about getting nothing in return and pointing to the King that we serve, to live in a different way for a different kingdom, and a kingdom that is founded on this lavish and generous and abundant love to all. That humility is not about what we get, and maybe it isn't fully about what we give either, but it's actually about how we give. It's about the posture that points to something greater beyond ourselves. Theologian Howard Thurman, who's the spiritual mentor of Dr. Martin Luther King Jr., says this, that the true measure of a person's greatness is not what he or she is able to achieve, but in what he or she is able to give, especially when no one's looking. That there's something beautiful about this idea of lavish love and lavish service and offering to others for the sake of becoming more like Jesus, for the sake of becoming more obedient to the way of Jesus and his kingdom. About being in this place where we're living into this self-giving nature of Christ with every act of service that we offer. You see, after these verses that we had just read from Philippians 2, Paul gives us this beautiful picture of what it means to be humble. Verse 5 says, you must have the same attitude of that of Christ Jesus. That your attitude, your mind, the way that you live, your mode of being has to be like Jesus. And Philippians 2 continues to show us this radical humility of Jesus. Verses 5 through 8 says this, though he was God, he did not think of equality with God as something to cling to. Instead, he gave up his divine privileges. He took the humble position of a slave and was born as a human being. And when he appeared in human form, he humbled himself in obedience to God and died a criminal's death on a cross. That somehow this life of humility is calling us to something deeper, something greater, to someone, into a new life. A life where we give up our own and live into this new life of Jesus and a new way of being human. Jesus, who is fully God, chose to be fully human, but he didn't cling to glory. He didn't rule from on high and instill fear or to intimidate, or he didn't exert his power over others. He let it go. He emptied himself. He made himself nothing, taking on the very nature of a servant. And he died. He died on a Roman cross, an agonizing and shameful death, a kind of death that was supposed to make an example of all of those who opposed Rome. And instead, Jesus' death became an example of this generous love poured out on us, this ultimate act of humility, this abundance of grace, the way to drive out all fear and to draw us closer so that we might become more and more like Jesus. Jesus flipped the script. Jesus changed everything. For the people of Philippi, they were all about power and empire and serving the king. And Jesus said, no, this is about others. This is about love. This is about grace. This is about letting go and being humble and serving. Jesus flips the script. You see, humility isn't about weakness or passivity. It's about strength, about choosing surrender. It's about power that chooses to serve. That Jesus was fully aware of his authority and his power and his rightful place in the universe, but instead he didn't use it to lord over others. Instead, he used it to serve, to love, to sacrifice. And this is the type of humility that we are being called into. N.T. Wright says this, humility is not putting ourselves down, but lifting others up. And in doing so, it is precisely a reflection of the great love that God has shown us in Christ. And so many times we're wondering, like, how can I live in this life of humility? As we mentioned at the very beginning, there is this slowing down that helps us to pay attention, to become others-centric. So many times in our lives, we are so hurried that we don't even recognize the people around us. Perhaps slowing is the way where we're able to actually see each other, to serve one another, have the opportunity to ask those deep questions, how are you doing? And also ask the ways that we can serve them out of love. John Mark Comer actually uses this beautiful and simple phrase, and he says, hurry and love are incompatible. That somehow in our hurriedness, we cannot express the love that Jesus is calling us to live into. That when we are hurried, we can't live into this life of the kingdom that Jesus is wanting us to live into. We cannot be the humble people who are able to give all that we are to others. You see, Jesus shows us the way. He shows us the way of humility. It's not this way of upward mobility, but it is this downward way of the kingdom of God. You see, the way of Jesus is surprising. He comes down. He makes his dwelling among us. He serves the least of these. He gives everything, including his very life, for the sake of all people. And his invitation to us is, follow me. Follow me. Do as I do. Live as I live. Love as I love. And we see this in these last days of Holy Week, in the ways that Jesus invites us to do precisely that. That Jesus, when he gathers up his disciples, knowing that God has given him all power and all authority, what does he do? He kneels down and he washes the feet of his disciples. Even the ones that will abandon him, betray him, and deny him. He serves them. He comes into Jerusalem, not in a mighty way, not on a high horse, not with chariots, not with trumpets, and all the ways in which kings would enter in and show their way of force. Jesus comes in humbly on a donkey, proclaiming that the new king has come, the new way of the kingdom has come. In his moments of agony, he prays to the Father and he says, not my will, but your will be done. And then even in the moment of his crucifixion, he offers forgiveness. He thinks of others. He says, forgive them for they do not know what they're doing. Humility is the way of Jesus. And it's surprising to our world. And it is the marker of the way that Christians show that we belong to him. That true humility is submitting to the will of God, even when it's difficult. That humility isn't passive. It's an active submission to God's plan and to trust in his goodness. And so the invitation is simple, but it also demands our everything. And we have to embrace his humility. We have to embrace the ways in which he calls us to live and humbly follow him and live in this way of sacrifice, even in the hardest moments of our lives. And so there's this prayer that I want to pray over us. It's a prayer that I listen to every day on this prayer app called Lectio 365. It's a prayer of yielding to God. And so in these moments, as we get ready to leave, what we want to do is we want to continue to yield ourselves to God, to say, I want to be someone who lives a life of humility, a life of Jesus, a life of other-centeredness. And so let me pray this over us. Can we stand? The words will be on the screen. And let this be our prayer as we leave and as we continue in our way of following Jesus today. Father, help us to live this day to the full, being true to you in every way. Jesus, help us to give ourselves away to others, being kind to everyone we meet. Spirit, help us to love the lost, proclaiming Christ in all we do and all we say. And all God's people said, amen. Go in peace and live out this life in the way of Jesus.